Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Anybody here locally, don't get me wrong of why I'm doing this sermon. This is something I want to teach, and I wanted to deal with it myself. And it's a big thing. And verse 13, and it's about charity. Like I said, don't go anywhere with your thoughts. Let's just learn what the Bible says about charity through Paul in a rightly divided Bible. And there's a very, very interesting observation I made in my studies that I'll save it till towards the end, which just verifies what I'm saying and I believe to be just true as the agenda, the devil's agenda. I'll show you when we get into this thing. But let's just look at charity tonight, mostly Bible reading. It says in verse 13, talks about charity being the greatest of these being charity, right there at the end of that verse. Now, you know where we're coming from already, so it's nothing new for you to see. The first, you probably even have them underlined, and that's in "and now." And we know that we're talking about before that which has come, that's before the Bible, the King James Bible. Not just the Bible, the King James Bible. So, during Paul's time, charity was the greatest thing. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, and these three. But the greatest of these is charity. But the two greatest words in that verse are "and now." And that's before verse 10. So, the title though for tonight is "The Greatest Is Not Charity Today." Today's charity is not the greatest. And look at Philippians. So I had to look at charity. I mean, I struggle with charity because everybody says the word is love. Well, it's not love. It's charity. And there's a reason the word is charity instead of the word love. So I look at different writings and different things, and we've heard one say that charity is love towards the brethren. We know some people make charity out something you're giving to somebody, the used toothbrushes and things like that, or you do something nice for somebody, give them money, give them clothes, whatever. That's charity because you're giving something, and that's fine. I've heard it said, which I think is probably one of the best things, is charity is the love that gives. And if your love is not giving, you're just taking, then there's no charity, and it's a deeper love, and that's fine. We can go over that if you want. We know that Corinth, the church of Corinth, there in chapter 1, they're a very carnal bunch, a very worldly bunch of people, arguments and disputations and disagreements and things taking place within the church that were wrong and immoral and those types of things. And Paul is going after these guys for having no charity. This is also the tongue-speaking church that wasn't doing it correctly in its day. See, even in this day, speaking in tongues was okay. It's not okay today. And there's doctrinal reasons for the Jews, but it's also doctrine the fact that before that which is perfect has come, tongues was there. So in Paul's time, yes, sir, tongues were going on. It's just not the way we see tongues today. Whole other story. Now, if this is, I also see where it say, I saw somebody say, charity puts God's word first in all of our actions. That's, we still have charity, but God's love, God's words are still more important. And that's my point. And you'll see how we get to that tonight. So when we have charity towards other people, and we need to, and I suppose I am not always good at that, according to what people define charity today, and I'll show you also why people define charity the way they define it today, and they're wrong. So once again, am I right and everybody else is wrong? No. But is the Bible right and most other people are wrong? Yes. This is one other thing that we've got to deal with for ourselves. Because we want to have charity for other people. We want to be there to help other people. We do want to do that for other people. How do we do that, and what does Paul really teach about that thing? We know that all the other Bibles change charity to the word love. And then when they get everybody to accept the word love, then they break love apart into phileo and agape. Either a deep love or a so-so love, an outward love or a deep love or a close love. And we know that when you study the agape phileo, the way they do it in their Bibles, looking at their Greek words, they've got that thing just all mixed up. It's just crazy. So there is no such thing as agape and phileo in a Bible. It's not a love, it's a charity. And yes, God even uses the word love, but just not in this chapter referring to charity. So those are some facts that we know we all know of. And another quick thing is there is no charity mentioned in the Gospels. Jesus never talks about charity in the Gospels or in the Old Testament, but in the Gospels. So in other words, the risen Savior is concerned about charity, but not the earthly one. Not when he was down here talking to Jews. So before we go down this run of charity, We're going to look at as many verses as we can tonight, and we're going to look at charity. But before we do that, let's put in our minds some remindings. Look at Philippians chapter 1. When we want to talk about charity, see, what I don't want to have happen tonight is I don't want people to think, well, you know what, I just don't have enough charity. And I need to go and be more charitable. Meaning you, and me too. I don't want that to be the result. I'm not trying to do one of those Great Commission sermons where I try to put the guilt on you for not having enough charity for people and getting you to go out and be more charitable. Actually, I think one of our problems we have here is sometimes we are too charitable. We're afraid to get past the charity element of what Paul has taught us, and you'll see that as we go. For example, we see in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, it does say this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent." Okay, so to do that, you're going to run across some situations as a Christian that's going to conflict with this. Do you or do you not exercise charity? But I want to grow in knowledge and I want to grow in judgment. And I'm learning to approve things that are excellent. And I'm with some folks, Christians, pretty much. I'm with some folks that don't want to do that. And do I need to exercise my charitable Christianity and go ahead and do that with them? Or should I make a judgment call here because I don't approve of that based on the Scriptures? Why should I give in and participate in this thing if it's wrong by giving charity to these people? Now, these are the things we're going to go through when we look at these verses here. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Now, here are some people, which, by the way, is a great testimony for us today if we can ever follow these things. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 and 10. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven," and on it goes. So, if a person's visual testimony is he has turned to God and from idols to serve the living and true God, if he's done that and they've seen that, where does charity fit into their testimony when they're around other people and aren't seeing what, don't understand what they're doing? Is that charity part of what their testimony is? So then they go ahead and do what, or participate with what somebody else is doing that you know is wrong, but you're having charity here. And does that support your testimony to these people? Or is it a false testimony? Is it a hypocritical kind of a testimony to God? See? So these people were noticeably turned themselves to God from their idols. Okay? So just remember, these are our goals as a Christian. We want to grow in knowledge and in all judgment. We want to be able to prove things that are excellent. We want to. We're supposed to learn to do that. We want to somehow in our life, in some form or another, turn from our idols in this world that we've had in our lives and turn to God. And it'll change our lives. So when you do that, where does charity towards this other stuff that goes on? Where does that fit in? Look at Acts 26, verse 18. Now, one of the earmarks of a Christian, apparently today, is love. Just love everybody, love everything, don't worry about it. You've got grace, you've got mercy, you've got long-suffering, you've got patience, you've got charity. And we'll read some verses on charity, and it's very important. I mean, it is a huge part of our testimony. But we have to remember, before we jump into this thing, Acts 26, verse 18, that Paul's goal, you read your Bible properly, and you realize what Paul's teaching us, you will have your eyes opened. You will turn from darkness in your life to light. You will turn from the power of Satan unto God more and more. Does that interfere with charity? Do you go back to darkness when you're with somebody because you want to be charitable? You don't want to burn them. You don't want to destroy them with your new life kind of a thing. We see, but that's a goal. That's one of our. Is that not one of our goals? We want to see what Paul, the risen Savior, will show us today. We want to see that. We want to We want to turn our family, our lives, our children, we want to show them the light. We want to turn from it when we want to be able to turn from the darkness we've had our whole life and turn unto that light. We want to get away from the power of Satan. We want to get in. We want to turn to God. Then it says in verse 30 that we should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Okay? That's doing things that you should do now that you're a Christian. Meet for repentance. Does that include charity? Well, sure, it includes charity. But where do we draw the line on charity? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things, and you go back through the list. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. There will be some benefit, profiting. You'll grow as a Christian. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now we got a problem. We want to meditate on these things. We want to learn about these things. We want to give our lives to these things. We want to try to give ourselves wholly to WH, you know, complete, to whatever it is we're trying to change in our lives. We want to do the modesty thing. We want to do the talking thing. We want to quit going to some places. We want to start going to the right places. We want to turn something off. We want to turn something on. We want to, whatever it is that God has shown us in our daily life through the risen Savior, not through bondage, not through laws and any of that kind of stuff, but learning from these guys that these are the things that we should be doing now that we're saved. Not only does it show us the truth, it'll show somebody else the truth and them that hear thee. Okay, but we have to be charitable. We'll get into those in a couple of minutes. But we just have to remember that to give yourself wholly unto something, you're completely into it, you're going to cause some problems. You just are. And where does charity fit into that thing? How does that fit? Look at Titus chapter 2. My point of remembering these verses are, it's like when people want to be charitable, they want to exercise charity or long-suffering or patience or any of those things to people, it's like we tend to throw out what's right. Is that what charity is? Throwing out what's the right thing, not to be offensive. We don't want to be offensive. The scriptures are offensive enough on their own without us putting a bunch of hammers behind it. But still, if we want to grow and change as a person and as a Christian, and one of those things is to have charity, where do we draw the line? If you're going to still be what we need to grow up to be. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, here we go, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Then it goes on and says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, which he's done, purifying to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's great. That's our goal, is to be zealous of good works. To want to get excited about doing something right, when we haven't for all of our years in our past. Now here's the hard part. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Where's the charity in that? These things that we're learning in our life that we're trying to turn away from, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, zealous of what we're learning, and yet these things we're to speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And yet we're supposed to still have charity towards this world. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Just a couple more here. This is the battle. This is the challenge. If we want to grow like Paul wants us to grow, the risen Savior wants us to grow, then when we exercise charity, do we have a conflict? 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks he made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Yes, even them. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now that's a goal we should have for our home, for our personal life. Things should not bother us. Have a quiet, peaceable life in, don't forget that, in all godliness and honesty. So you want to do right, you have a clear conscience about stuff, and have a decent life in the freedoms that we have today. That's our goal. It's a prayer for goal. In fact, I think even the next verse. What's the next verse, Louis?
What? Read it out loud.
Yeah.
For this is good and acceptable.
Here, yeah. So that's even what God wants. It's acceptable. It's good. It's acceptable. This is what He wants us to have in our life. He wants us to have a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Okay, when we try to have that within our homes or within our personal private life, with our own little circle that we have for our own little bubble that musicians get into, that we have that, and we got to be charitable in situations, that's going to challenge our quiet and peaceable life. It's going to put challenges within our home. We have charity towards something, but is having charity towards whatever this thing is it going to destroy or challenge our quiet and peaceable life? Or is the strength that we have grace, and so we allow these things, and we bring them into our homes, we bring them into our lives, and we just accept them, and don't let it bother us because we have grace, and so we're having charity, which is a good thing. But we're wrong in participating or having that within our home or having that within our life or us doing it. Then we're wrong. What do we do? Where does charity fit in today? The Christian world thinks that charity is number one thing. I mean, charity, grace, just back off of this doctrinal, what do they call that? You're dogmatic. Don't be so dogmatic with your doctrine. Everything doesn't have to be just so-so. Well, that's right. Christ paid for all that stuff. There is no law. But then we're learning that we get past this marvelous doctrine of Paul as far as Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, and we suddenly realize, boy, some of these things we're doing, we really shouldn't be doing them anymore. We don't have to stop, but we should stop doing them. And we should start doing these things. Then you find yourself around a bunch of folks that don't understand what you're talking about at all, and do you just drive them away and have charity and let them in? And then their goal is what you're trying to learn. And you're trying to grow. What kind of a challenge? One more. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a challenge. So that's why I want to talk about this tonight. No other reason. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Here's one more. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. That's true. Well, I know it's true because the Bible says that, but I mean, we still recognize that. Then he goes and says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, no, what do you mean purge myself from that stuff? That's not showing charity. That's going to cause problems if I purge myself from this, from the wood and the earth. But he says, if you purge yourself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. So that means you purge yourself from some of that dirt and wood, earth and wood, and now God can use you more. Well, I want God to use me more, and I want to be able to preach this stuff, and you want to be able to show people these things, and you want to change your life just because you know it's the right thing to do, and yet you want God to be able to use you to tell somebody else or whatever. And yet if you purge yourself from a lot of this earth and wood, you're going to be accused of not having charity. Or maybe you won't be having charity. Is that okay? Is there a time where charity is wrong? You know, how do we deal with that? Well, here we go. Look at Romans chapter 14, where I'm just going to read a bunch of verses tonight on charity. And you're going to hear how important it is. I'm not going to downplay charity. I'm not here to do that. Charity is very important. I'm not talking about taking clothes to Salvation Army and Goodwill and that sort of a thing. I'm talking about charity. Expressing the love to people that's giving, and God's first. When you do it, it's all for Him. It's all for His glory. And what does He say about that for us? Well, we've got to read a whole chapter or two here. So I shouldn't have to say bear with me when we're reading the Bible, because this is the best place to get everything. I'll keep my mouth out of this if at all possible. Romans chapter 14. Now, I've learned, I think you are too, that the slower you read your Bible, the more you get. That's been something that you're recognizing. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Okay. Right off the bat, we got charity, don't we? Right off the bat. But not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth, now here are the examples he gives us, but this applies in so many ways. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Now I like that one because the weak one's the vegetarian there. I do like that. Who is weak, eateth herbs. In other words, it's okay to pop down a piece of cow on the table once in a while. I like that. But anyway, but doesn't matter. You've got somebody else who's weak in the faith and he thinks he should just be a vegetarian or out there chunking on grass or whatever. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. He's a brother. Relax. If a guy doesn't want to eat something, don't make a big thing about it. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Here's another one. One man esteemed one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. Okay? He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Either way, what's the problem here? Well, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died, and rose, and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. So of all that being said, he says, but why dost thou judge thou thy brother? Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now we know what that means. Our works and the whole deal. Sin is taken care of, not a problem. So he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Oh, now what? Here, remember all these verses we went through. We want to learn this. We want to grow to be this. We want to turn from the darkness to Satan or to God. We want to grow in judgment and approve all the things that are right. We want to be visualized that our testimony is different. And yet we see right here that we're not supposed to put a stumbling block in somebody's way. Just say brother, by the way, not the world. And I do think that in Christianity today, churches are full of lost people based on a rightly divided King James Bible. I think that the devil is replacing saved people in churches with lost people. I think that the saved people are so fed up with all what's going on in churches, they're leaving. And everybody's coming back in for the music, they're coming back in for the love, they're coming back in for socializing, they're coming back in because of the things that are going on. It's a happy place to be. And I think a lot of people are not being saved. I think a lot of people have another Jesus. Now, if that's the case, then quite often we are probably being pressured to give charity to people we're not supposed to give charity to at all, not their brothers at all. So it's a real confused Christianity today. It's a real mess. But Paul also tells us, listen, where somebody's saved or not, that really isn't your problem. Well, it may not be my problem. Boy, it sure does mess things up, doesn't it? It really does. Verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that's the risen, by the way, that there is nothing unclean of itself. Okay? Piano, drum, banjo, cigarettes, beer, I mean, by itself, there it is, it exists, it's a thing. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Okay? So don't bug anybody about whatever the things that are popping around about our Christian circles here. What do you care about somebody else's something or other? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just isn't your problem. Somebody's too clean. somebody's too modest, somebody's too quiet, somebody's doesn't do anything anymore about videos and TVs. Those are the things that just stick to my mind more than anything. I see the evil communications corrupting so many good manners, so I'm concerned about that stuff. But in somebody else's life, what's that to you? And you could sit there and you could say, well, you know, Pastor, the same thing goes for you. No, it doesn't. Because we're supposed to preach, and we're supposed to teach, and we're supposed to exhort. Is that judgment? Or is that what the preacher is supposed to do? Now, what about you as a parent? You don't want your kids judging you as a parent. What do they know about parenting? What do you know about parenting, Olivia? If you've had a little kitty cat, we won't tell you, but you've probably heard about that. Grandma's the grandma killer now. So, you know, two little kitties went back to kitty hell, because that's where all cats are from, just so you know that. But who would be the children? Who's Caitlin and Amanda? Who are you to judge your father for what kind of father he is? What do you know? You've never been a father. You've never been a mother. You're barely a kid. You know, really, in this world, you've been slapped up so high to be an adult that you don't even want to like to be kids anymore. So, that's what Paul's telling us. So listen, what are you doing judging other people? Well, is that what charity is? Is to back off on judgment totally and let it fly within your home and in your personal life and in your bubble and go ahead and do these things? Because all you're doing is you're giving charity, you know. You're offering charity. Let's finish this up here. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. So that's good. There's charity. I mean, it's pretty serious. Destroy not him with thy meat with whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Okay? Do we need to start dressing like the world? Do we need to start talking like the world? Whatever makes a lost person or another Christian, which possibly is a lost person, unhappy with your presence, then should we not do that? Should we back off and let's go back to the t-shirts and the junk and the showing off the stuff and the skin? Should we go back to talking like we used to talk? Should we pop in those videos and let's have a great time? Because I sure don't want to make my good that I'm learning. If videos are bad, clothes are bad, and you're trying to do this stuff, but I sure don't want my good to be looked upon as evil. So instead of making people mad, I'm going to do all this stuff. Is that what we're being taught here? You would certainly think so. Because it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So do we want to be approved by everybody that's out there? If we do, let's just call this Charity Baptist Church. That's what a lot of churches do call themselves. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself and that thing which he allows. In other words, you can go out and party hardy with the world out there, with a Christian world, a modern Christian, and say, well, I can do this because I don't want to cause them to stumble, and I'm okay because it isn't imputed to me, and I'll go out there and have a great time. And it's not going to be imputed, so happy as me, because I'm not going to condemn myself because I don't have it's not imputed. I mean, this is really what this looks like. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Boy, what do we do with all this? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's just look at these verses, and we'll get on with it here. I got to turn off the icebox here. Man. I notice as you get older, sounds start to bother you more. There we go. Quiet. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 28. But if any man... If any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? There we go. They're not giving charity there. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Because you know if you're going to go out there and give charity and be amongst that stuff, you're going to get judged for that. You know that crowd's there too. Whether therefore you eat and drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Well, let's go down with our friend. Let's go down and let's have a drink with him at the bar, and maybe we can get this guy saved. I don't want to put anything on him about alcohol being so bad or whatever. So you go on the street corner and you got a bunch of perverts out there and all this world out there that's just mixed up and messed up. Does that mean you need to dress like them and talk like them and act like them? Quit yelling at them. Go on the other side of the sidewalk and be part of them to win them over. Is that what we're being told here? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. This is the big chapter. A lot of verses. I have a feeling this is going to be two. I don't want it to be a two-parter, though, but it just may be. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So that's kind of a worthless thing if that's what you're going to be like. And without any charity, who cares what you have to say? Speaking in tongues and like angels and stuff. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Boy, you better have charity then. Notice that all these examples are gospel-y, Old Testament kind of examples here, by the way. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's Jesus' teachings in the Gospels, and though I give my body to be burned, what a Christian you are, but if you have not charity, it profits you nothing. It profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. There you are. There's the case for charity is number one thing in our life. Let's just get saved, and then let's just go back out there and see if we can't convince them through our mouth that we ought to get to heaven. Soul winning. Soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. That's all it is. And let's leave aside all this other stuff that seems to be just causing people problems. Wouldn't you come up with that conclusion? I mean, if you go through that thing in charity suffereth long, verse 4. Well, it doesn't suffer forever, but it does suffer long. It puts up with things for a long time. It's kind. I got a sermon on kindness. I don't think I'm a mean person, but maybe I have been. Maybe I need to be more kind. Charity envieth not. There's no envy involved in charity. We're doing this to benefit somebody else. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not to show off of what you're a good charitable Christian. It's not there to be a show-off thing. Charity does not behave itself unseemly, verse 5. Unseemly is not becoming. It doesn't belong. No, it needs to be done right. It's right. It's not a bad thing to do. Seeketh not her own. Charity seeketh not her own. It's not that we have the rights to be, we're not seeking our own thing here. Is not easily provoked. Sure, it shouldn't make anybody angry. It shouldn't cause a challenge or to offend anybody or anything. Charity thinketh no evil. We're not trying to cause anything to happen. So let's put some charity into this thing. Now here's one: charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. Okay, your charity, our charity, my charity should not enjoy something that's wrong. So we shouldn't be offering charity to a iniquity situation, sinful situation. There's something to look at. It says, but it rejoices in the truth. So the charity that we're trying to offer should be in a truthful zone. It rejoices in the truth. We enjoy that the truth is there. Wow. And yet it says it beareth all things, but you know it can't just bear all things, but it says all things. Believeth all things? What if your friend is a Hebrew? What if your friend is a Hindu? What if your children grow up and be Hindus and Bahamans or whatever? You're supposed to believe that? Believeth all things. Hopeth all things and endureth all things. You put up with anything. And yet remember the verses we started with. We need to understand judgment. We need to understand what is provable to God. We need to change our lives and do what's right in our life. And yet have charity toward everybody that's doing all this stuff. And Christianity today is such a conglomeration of all kind of beliefs and all kind of okays and all kind of don'ts and do's. I mean, man, how can you grow as a Christian and be amongst a lot of what's going on in Christianity? How can you be what you need to be based on Paul's teachings and still have what we have out there in our homes? How can we do this? Are we not having charity when we don't have them? Are we having charity and blowing what we know is right or wrong for our personal testimony to our kids or to somebody else? Ooh, Pastor, I came here to relax and enjoy the. This is a conflict. This is a serious conflict. I don't think it is a serious conflict. I really don't. And we'll keep going here. We've got a lot to cover here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Just over a couple snitches there. Verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. So we know that verse. Right after that it says, let all your things be done with charity. Now we know our strength, 2 Timothy 2:1, comes from grace. Our strength is grace. How do we have charity and yet we have to be strong men? Grace. Okay, I take us back to our original question. How can we have grace? How can we have charity? And we're still supposed to be the strong men and learn these things from Paul and realize the soldier and the sword and want to fix things the best we can in this day. And yet, if I'm going to have charity be the most important thing in my life, everything I'm trying to do seems to take a backseat to charity. And what's the point? If I want to win my kids, do I have to do it their way? If I want to win my neighbors, do I have to do it their way? If I want to win the people I work with, do I have to do it their way? If I want to win them, do I need to go to a Christmas party and everybody be drinking? And maybe you do. I'm not saying that you don't. I'm not saying that you do. But where does this charity thing fit in? I mean, is this the number one most important thing? Because I'll tell you, if it is, I'll save it to the end. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Some more verses on charity. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, everybody's going to trip up somewhere. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know what that is? That's charity. You're going to be there for somebody who messed up. And instead of hitting him with a hammer, or taking the sword out, the sharpened and two-edged sword, and slice them up, you're just going to be there for them. Why? Because it may happen to you. And you're going to want somebody to be there. That's charity. Look at Ephesians 4:32. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. It's not going to happen to me. Well, okay. Something's going to happen to you. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Okay? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's a guilt trip. By the way, people that say, that's a guilt trip. God forgave you for all the stuff you've done and said and thought and looked at that nobody else knows. Why can't you forgive somebody? That's charity. Colossians, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We should look at it, Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Because he says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Perfectness. It's the glue. If we had charity in this church over these last 10 years, or 15 years, or 20 years, or 25 years, would this place need a second building? I've seen the pictures. I've seen the activities out there. I've seen the pictures of the activities where the ladies were extremely immodest. Not like it would be today, if extremely immodest, but in those days, pretty immodest. I've seen activities going on where the guys and the girls were in the same gunny sack and they weren't even related, that kind of stuff. I know the language. I know the activities that went on. I've seen the pictures, the Christmas stuff. And all the, oh, come on, Pastor. You're just... Where's your charity? Well, the charity that we'd have had through all these years would have kept this place solid and big and full, and maybe everybody would just be happy, and our kids would be coming with us and wanting to come, and we just, Pastor, you know, you last three King James guys, you just have broken the bond of charity. Is that really what's going on? Is charity the thing that's missing in our lives? Look at... Christ forgave us. Why can't we just do the stuff and don't worry about it? Is that what he said? Is that what we're talking about here? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. This is tough. Really, in some ways, this is very difficult to see the answer to this thing. But I think you'll see it by the time we're done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you... Here's Timothy again. Remember Timothy and Titus, all the reason, their comfort and everything? I like this one too. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. So these folks had a testimony of charity. Of your faith and charity. We see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other, of you all toward each other, aboundeth. So, we're seeing verses where charity is hugely important. I mean, it's very important. Listen, you've had to have charity for your brothers. You just had to. They'd be dead by now. Your parents couldn't even find them. Some of the things they tried to do to you. Have you not had to have charity for Amanda? And has Amanda ever had to have charity for you? Maybe not. Maybe children aren't good with charity because they can scratch each other's eyes out in 10 seconds, be friends again. I know kids can do that. Adults aren't as good as that, you know. So charity is very important. I wonder if your brothers have ever had to have charity with you yet. I'll bet you. I bet you thought about putting a little sand in some of those brownies you made them and just kind of break their teeth. Don't ever do that again to me, Austin. Stuff like that. You got to give you charity for that stuff. Your family, you got to have charity for each other. Okay, but does that mean when they do stuff like that, or do you want to go out and do something like that, or if there's something that's just drastically wrong, do we just ignore the stuff in the name of charity? Is that what Paul is teaching us here? Is charity the greatest thing? You're going to have two more sisters in your family. You're going to have charity for each other, or you won't last a week. And you have no options. Well, you do still, but not in pretty soon. You won't have any options. You're going to have to have. You're going to have to let. Listen, Dad. What are the kids' names? Savannah. You know what Savannah did to me last night, Dad? We haven't been one night, and she's already got toothpaste all in all my socks. You know? Well, yeah. Where's your charity? What's the deal here? The rat, it's gone. I found the rat, but he's dead out back. Oh, no, where's your charity? Who killed the rat? Well, is that charity, or is Amanda going to get in trouble for killing the rat? Where do you draw this kind of stuff? What's he saying here? He says right here in... have we read 2 Thessalonians 1, 3? We read that? Okay, then look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment... Boy, end of the commandment, wow! Is charity out of a pure heart. Now how about charity out of a mean heart? No, it says a pure heart. And of a good conscience. Have you got a good conscience? You know, most of the people that complain about you not having charity, you know what they don't have when they say that? Charity. Do you not see that? You know? And it says, and of faith unfeigned. Sure, if you've got faith unfeigned and you've got it together and you've got a good conscience and you are just as solid, pure in your little heart as you can be, then yeah, charity is, go for it. But it says, from which some have swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. And those are the ones that blame you for not having charity. And I'm not trying to do anything local. I'm just telling you, this is common in Christianity. 2 Timothy chapter 2. What do they say? Where's your charity? I'm going to say to them, where's your Bible? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, here's a tough one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. That's not the tough one's coming up. Here's one more. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith. There it is, charity. We are commanded to have charity. We're to follow charity. It is a commandment to us from Paul still. Now here's a tough one, 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is tough. Stephen on there tonight? Probably not Stephen. Dan? I guess I don't know his address. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Oh, this is for the young folk. But be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation. There it is, in charity. Okay, girls, you're young. As you get a little older, you can be the best example in your house for charity. You be the example. As you grow up, you'll be a better and better example. Now, if we were to go here to James and 1, 2, 3 Peter, and Jude, we'd see some interesting things. Let's look at. Got to save some time here. Let's see here. Let's look at James chapter 4. I can look at a couple of James chapter 4. So we just went through a bunch of verses on charity. Charity is very important as a Christian. I mean, it ranks right up there. In fact, Paul even says that it's the greatest. But he does say it with a condition attached in his verses there. So before we get into the kicker verse here, we could go to James chapter 4, verse 11. Speaketh not evil one of another, brethren. That's charity. Got nothing to say bad about somebody. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Whoa, what a hard verse to put on somebody today. And yet we know that Paul doesn't teach that at all. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Inherit a blessing? We don't inherit blessings. That's tribulation. Of course they're going to have to do right. Of course they're going to have to love everybody. Of course they can't have a problem with a brother. They have a problem with a brother, their salvation is at stake here. So sure, this sounds good. It'd be nice if we have compassion one of another, love as brethren. Of course it would be nice to do that, be pitiful, be courteous. Of course we don't want to render evil for evil. I don't want to, you hurt me, I'll hurt you more, kind of a thing. We don't want to have to do that. Paul doesn't teach that. But if you are going to be that way and not be these things and be clean about it, you're not going to inherit a blessing because this is a tribulation application. So we don't want to go to that thing right there. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Here's another one. And these are nice things to have for goals, but we can't do these things. But verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Right there tells me that this is not to us. We're not at the end. We haven't even had the rapture yet. The Lord hasn't shifted gears since he talked with Paul. He's got to get rid of the Gentiles. He's got to cut the Gentile nation off the plant, and then he's going to get onto the Jews. This is for them. So the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Boy, if we knew things were just about over, not the rapture, but the second coming, and he's going to come down, and boy, you betcha we'd be sober and we'd be watching. We'd be praying all the day long. And we still ought to be sober. Paul tells us to. We still ought to be praying without ceasing. But we don't have to fear the end yet. And then it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And here's why. See, charity covers a multitude of sins. Okay? Let them come in. Let them bring their teachings into your home. Let them bring their lifestyle into your home. Let them bring their entertainment into your home. Go ahead and take your kids and take you go out there and have a great time in the world. Because, see, you're just having charity. And you're going to party hardy with all these people because you have charity. Maybe you can win them to the Lord. Is that false teachings? Is that what we're getting out of this charity thing here? Well, first of all, we know we have no sin to cover. But that's not kind of what we're talking about here. Do we need to overlook everything that's out there? Do you want to go do that one particular activity? And just don't worry about it. And just go out there and have a good time. Then they won't get mad at you. They won't think you're a fuddy-duddy. They won't think the Bible's anything. It's no big deal. Maybe you can win it with your charity. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Then you get into 1 Peter 5:14. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Starts to sound like the Lutherans and the, you know, that kind of thing. Charity is all it is. And what is modern Christianity today? God loves everybody. There's nothing right. There's nothing wrong. Just do what's right for you. And you know, you can smell a lot of the truth in that stuff. I mean, there's some truth in there, but it's been twisted a little bit. It's been twisted a little bit. Then you get Jude, verse 12. See, one of the things, I said it before, I'll say it again tonight. We're going to go long tonight, so that's, I'm glad you came. You may not come again. We're going to do it, right? One of the reasons I tell people you need to read Hebrews to Jude is because you're going to see some things that are starting to take place. It's getting closer and closer and closer. That's why I get out of those books more than anything. Here's one of the verses, verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. There are people that we're involved with in our charitable desire to help people. Those people are coming in and they're messing with us. We have charity. Anybody's welcome to come to this church. I'm not going to tell anybody they can't come to this church. Now, if a guy comes in the back door pointing his gun, he's not welcome here. We'll ask him to leave quickly. But other than that, this place is open for the whole crowd that's out there. Even that one thing that came here a couple years ago, it can come back. But my charity, we're here. But now there's something that has to take place when it shows up. Right? Now, here's the kicker thing. This is what just got me excited again. I wanted to do this verse more than anything. Those verses I read to you didn't take a tremendous amount of study. I didn't earn my money in this sermon. I got what they call a topical Bible, and it's got Bible verses in there per topic. Practicing piano, for example. All the verses that tell us that we had to practice the piano. And be good to yourself. All those kind of topics. Give me a topic and I can find you some Bible verses on it. I hard to look at the thing, and here's why. It's just like the concordance in the back of most Bibles. They're not all there. Those aren't all the verses in that Bible. So you can't trust those concordances in the back. If you got to do a concordance, you get a full one, look at all the verses. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 13 is the charity chapter. The whole chapter is on charity, right? 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm looking up these charity verses, and I want to see, really, charity is very important. Okay, so repent on there still? Here's the verse I was telling you about, Jason. We just read, charity is so important. But is it the greatest of these in verse 13? And now it was. And now it was. But look at what he says in verse 4, chapter 14, verse 1. The very next verse he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. Then it goes on. It's a tongues chapter, but it's still talking about prophesy. Prophesying is preaching. Here we go. To utter, to make declaration of events to come, there's one definition of prophesying. But in Scripture, it means to preach, to instruct in religious doctrines, to interpret or explain Scripture or religious subjects, the act of preaching. That's what he says. Well, look at that right there. Now, here's what was very interesting to me. This topical Bible had all these verses I read to you about charity. You know what verse wasn't in there? That one. Well, were they all in there? I don't know. That verse, no. That, yes, they were, by the way. That verse was not. That verse is talking about charity. There's no way that verse should have been left out of that list in that topical Bible. Why is that verse missing in that topical Bible? Just a little bitty thing, small thing. It's a huge thing. That's the agenda of the devil to keep people from realizing that prophesying, preaching, is still more important than charity. And if we know what preaching is today, rightly divided preaching, it's a King James rightly divided Paul following Bible based on what Paul teaches. Now, you see, to me, the Word of God is to be magnified above everything, even His own name. Word of God is magnified above charity. Preaching takes precedence over charity. Now, I'm not going to be the one that's going to label preaching is the most important thing. Because we know that what is preached is the most important thing, and that's the Word of God. If we go back to, let's go back up to verse 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10. See, now that's come. Now, if that verse 13, verse 10 is, I'll say this again, if that is not the King James Bible, I don't believe it's the Bible back in 90 AD when they put all the canon together, because that thing went through a myriad of changes. Polishing the Geneva Bible, the Matthew Bible, the Bishop Bible, all these things. Where was the Word of God before 1611? In all these different little places. Who can have one? Nobody. So, when that which is perfect has come, done, complete, it's done, there it is, it's King James Bible. 1611. Now, if that's not what it is, then we still, God will still show us stuff, God will still tell us things, we can still speak in tongues, we can, charity is the number one thing, and let's just back off this whole thing, and let's just put this King James Bible away, and let's tell people how they can follow Jesus, and let's just love everybody, and let's just forget about what's right and what's wrong, because Jesus is about to come and He's going to fix everything in this world. And we know what that is. That is a ploy, that is a lie of another Jesus that's getting everybody to throw out what any Bible would say, what the King James Bible would say, and they're just getting set up for this Antichrist. Because He's going to show up and everybody's going to think that everything is just fine. This guy is here to fix everything. Oh, and now here comes the Lord now out of the sky. Because they can see the image. Everybody's going to see this thing. That's what's being set up here. And again, as important as charity is towards people, brethren, by the way, and even with lost people, we still have grace and long-suffering and patience because we don't want to burn them in case maybe next week, maybe 5 years later, another seed would be watered. I mean, we know all that kind of stuff. But the greatest is not charity. The greatest is a King James, rightly divided, Paul books preached Bible. And that Bible tells us the things that we read at the beginning. That we want to exercise judgment. We want to know what is right. We want to change our lives. We want to approve that which is right. And if somebody comes along and tries to challenge that or affect that, then we got a problem. If they don't want to challenge and affect that, we don't need to make a big scene. There's still charity involved. But when they start going, what's real love for your children? You love your children, but you hate anybody trying to hurt your children. You're not going to have charity for some pervert guy living two blocks away. Where's your charity for that guy? Hey, Hank, why don't you come over here and play with our kids? We want to show you how much we trust you to make him feel better about himself. No way. We wouldn't do that. And yet you're going to be accused of the world of not having charity towards this guy. I understand he's out of prison. He served his 500-year term, and he's probably better, and that whole issue is there. But you're not going to trust him with your children. You're just not going to. for example. Here's another verse. Look at 1 Corinthians 4, 5. The King James Bible is the issue. It always is in any discussion we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Now here's a slap. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So let's just wait for Jesus to come. Let's just toss this stuff out. But wait a minute. As that which is perfect is come, we know we're in a spiritual kingdom. We know this Bible is the Word of God. You know what this Bible does? That Bible brings to light the hidden things of darkness. Doesn't it? Where else are you going to hear it? You're not going to hear it from any other churches. Where are you going to hear it? Did God tell you this stuff before you got a hold of your kingdom? He didn't tell you this stuff at all. But maybe you're not saved. Maybe you need to get out there and have an experience. Go to someone. Maybe because we don't speak in tongues around here, we're not saved people. Let's try it. You ready? I can't even do this thing. But that's what they teach you to do. Don't you ever believe that? That's what they teach you to do. And the King James Bible has to be that which is perfect, and it has to be that the Lord has come at this point spiritually. He will teach us in this Bible the hidden things of darkness. It will make manifest the counsels of the heart that says that in Hebrews 4. That's what the Word of God does. And if this is the Word of God, then that's what it does. And then shall every man have praise of God. We can have praise of God today. We can praise God today based on what we've learned in our Bible. That Bible has helped me change my life. But wait a minute. I got to have charity. I got to have charity to everybody that's coming in and messing with me and criticizing me for this and that and whatever. And get out of the box and come on. Come on, loosen up. And I'm proud of you for changing. Oh, it's good to see you dressing down finally. What is this stuff? No, the Word of God still takes precedence over charity. And preaching has to still be preached. Teaching of this Bible still has to be taught. Amen? That's it? I got a cough? That's a big issue, isn't it? That's a big issue. Well, look at it this way. Maybe this whole thing with Paul is just stupid. Maybe we're just wrong with this grace thing as far as Paul. Maybe Timothy and Titus, maybe those aren't even supposed to be in there. That's the ones that cause all the trouble. No, we believe the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. No doubt we've seen the historical proof. We've seen the physical proof. We've seen the manuscript proof. We've seen the doctrinal proof. We've seen the make sense proof. That's it. Well, I'm sorry to say, Timothy and Titus is in there. And amongst all that, we still need to have charity. But that still needs to be part of our lives. See, this is why I say we tend to put charity above the truth still today. And charities, the charity that we have given to some folks, and I believe I've been very charitable, probably not charitable enough. I'm me, I got my flesh I fight with, etc., like everybody. But could it be that what's happening today, and a lot of our local families are, and the families are having trouble out there, charity is coming back to bite them because they didn't stop what they should have stopped in the name of charity and love and grace. But now it's coming back and it's biting us. Is that possible? I think it is. I think we're still afraid to do those. How did Paul have charity with all the things that Paul put up with? Well, what's that long list of words I use all the time? When it comes to a point, and either your charity is going to come back and burn you, and you don't want to exercise charity in this situation, because you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. Guy comes to the door, again, like the pervert guy. Guy comes to the door with a gun, and he's going to rob you. Well, should you let him rob you? No, not necessarily. But what if the guy is just a man who's lost his job, lost his house, can't eat? We're getting to those days. Well, that's the tribulation. And yes, you better have charity. But today, That guy is not going to rob my house. That's just the way it is. Somebody's banging on your door at night, and your window's opening up, and you look in that armed, what's that thing called in the NRA all the time? That one little article that's always got examples of people defending themselves. Those people do not have charity for the people that are coming into their homes without being invited. There's no charity in those stories. Is that just the world? No. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Yeah. Finish up with Acts 28. A couple quick verses here. Acts 28, quickly here. Verse 31. Who's on there tonight? Real quick, like. Okay. Acts 28:31. Preaching the kingdom of God, and this is what Paul was doing, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. I know Paul had charity, but I also know Paul had to do what sometimes? He had to avoid. Right? He had to withdraw. He had to get out of a situation. Where's your charity when you withdraw from something? That's being charitable. You're going to stay there and argue and fight and all these questions where Paul says are unprofitable and vain and get into this stuff? Are you going to avoid, withdraw? How's that list go? Not strive, neither give heed, purge, reject, be not partakers, mark, note them, have no company with, put away from yourselves, cast off, have no fellowship. You know what that is? That's actually charity. Because that's what they need. And Paul preached the kingdom. He taught those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. What are those things that concern the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans, Timothy, Titus. Yes, those things please God. But so does charity please the risen Savior. But he says when it becomes an issue like he talks about here, then you've got to do what you got to do, or it's going to come back and burn you. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Exhort with all long suffering. You know what that is? That's charity. Has anybody ever said to you, or the kids, maybe your parents have said it, or maybe they'll say it someday? Now, you come over here, I'm going to give you as much charity as I'm going to tell you something with as much charity as I can possibly tell you, but if you ever, I will put your head in a vice for 3 days. You will say it as charitably as you can. That's how you put that thing. You ever had to, you go outside and the tractor's upside down and the wheels are spinning, and Louis goes, well, Austin, Sam, I'm going to be as charitable as I can here. But let me talk to you. You're not going to go, oh, I bet you that was exciting, wasn't it? You're going to deal with that thing. Why can't we deal with the things Paul tells us to deal with? He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. That's charity. Do the work of an evangelist. You know what that is? That's to tell them still, with all the charity you can muster, what's true. What does grace have to have with it? Truth. What does truth have to have with it? Grace. That's charity. Charity is not the greatest thing. It's very important. But what Paul preaches and teaches is still the most important thing. And I'm concerned that we're letting charity coming back and biting us. That's what I see that's going on. It's so hard for us to do that, avoid, withdraw, and preach, and rebuke, and exhort. With charity, there's where charity fits.